Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service today, live from EBC headquarters. My name is Richard Doherty. I'm the youth minister here. I'm joined by Mark as well, who will be bringing us a word in a moment. But let's start, as we mean to go on, with some praise. So we're going to sing a song all about God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We gather together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come, we gather together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wing, and the world will see that. Spirit, Lord, we come, we gather together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down and as your people sing. We will rise with you, lift it on your wings, and the world will see that. Yes, the world will see that. Our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name. Morning turns to songs of praise. God saves, our God saves. Hear the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. Yes, the world will see that.
To Mark now, who's going to bring us some notices and a prayer.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. Well, yeah, I know, same old joke. Brilliant to have you with us. Hope it's warm enough for you. Really sticky down here in Swanage. Obviously, it's the centre of the universe. It's the hottest place around at the moment. Well, one of. But it's great to have you, and bless you for joining us. It's good that we can be together in this way. It's nice to start with a song of praise like that. Recognising who God really is amongst us. But a huge welcome to everyone. And if you're on the phone or you're watching, and even for the first time, it's great to have you with us. Let's commit our time to God, shall we? Let's pray. So, Father, thank you for this summer season. Thank you for the beautiful weather which we're experiencing. But, Lord, we just want to thank you too for the each new day, which is such an expression of your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord, that as sure as night follows day and day follows night, thank you that, Lord, you are there with us. You are with us every single day, giving us the breath in our bodies, giving us the focus of life. So thank you, Jesus. Can we commit this time to you as we share it together? Even though we are physically apart, Lord, I pray that we will be together by your Spirit. So come. Come and be with us. May we give you the praise and the honour and the glory which is due to your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good. Okay. Just a few little things, if I could. Notices-wise, you'll probably have gathered now that we're alternating between our worship on Wednesdays and our Zoom prayer time. So it's our prayer time coming up this coming Wednesday. So if you, again, would like to join us for that, just leave a comment and we can send you the Zoom connection on that one. Obviously, there's lots of other things if you've been away. If you'd like to catch up online on this very page, then you can. We've got coffee time again at the end of our service. Equally, if you'd like to join us for that, if you just want to pop a comment in the comments column, then we'll make sure you get a link for that. And I think there's a little bit of a sign, isn't there, that things are just perhaps the virus is getting a little bit of a hold in different places. So can I encourage you? Let's stay safe. Let's be sensible. Let's be careful about what we do. Okay. The Lord bless you. I'll be back a bit later, but I'm handing over to Rich now for the kiddies bit.
Now, I wonder if you've ever been jealous of somebody or if you've ever been really cross with someone. When we look at the Gospels, which are the bits of the Bible which show us what Jesus did, what he said, where he went, we see that lots of people really loved Jesus. They loved how he talked about God. They liked how he talked about being forgiven and how we can forgive other people. But some people got really cross when they heard Jesus speak. And in fact, some of them were people who, like myself and like Mark, should have known better because it was their job to teach people about God. But they saw the big crowds following Jesus. They didn't like some of the ways he explained the Bible. And some of these men got very jealous. And some got very angry. And very sadly, the Bible says they decided and plotted and schemed to kill Jesus, God's own son, the lovely man who taught people to forgive each other and to love each other. So I've got a coin here, and this coin is going to represent Jesus this morning, a little pound coin. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you something amazing that happened at Easter. You see, Jesus was arrested. He was betrayed by one of his own friends, and he was taken to court, and bad men decided to kill Jesus. And when they killed him, they thought, we're going to make sure no one ever hears about this Jesus again. We're going to bury him, and he's going to be gone forever. So when Jesus was killed, his friends buried him in a tomb, and they put him inside some grave clothes, okay? And they wrapped him up good and tight, and just to make sure, I've got a bit of gaffer tape here. They didn't have gaffer tape. But just so you know, there's no monkey business going on here this morning. Okay, here's my envelope. The coin's in there. Okay, can you see that? The coin's there, just right there. Okay, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to fold this envelope in half, and they're going to wrap him up good and tight. Okay, I'm going to make sure this stays on camera so you don't think I'm mucking around. Okay, and they took Jesus in the grave clothes, and they put him in a tomb, in a big stone cave. So here's Jesus' body, and he's dead. And the disciples are really sad about that, and they're very upset. And Jesus, their friend, had been killed. So he was buried in the grave clothes. He was all wrapped up tight, and they put him in a tomb. But the Romans and the Jewish leaders, they heard about how Jesus had said he'd come back to life again. They thought, well, we're going to make sure no one steals the body. We're going to make sure no one pretends that Jesus is alive again. So they put a great big stone in front of the tomb. Okay, so here we go. They put a great big stone in front of the tomb, thinking, ha, no one's going to come in and steal the body and say that Jesus is alive, because there's a great big stone, a big heavy stone in the way. And to make sure no one mucked around with the stone, the Romans and the Jewish leaders, they put some really heavy, scary, beardy men with big swords and spears in front of the tomb, and they made sure no one came near. Okay, so we're going to wrap all of that up good and tight. Okay, and we're going to put that right in here, in my envelope here, and the guards, guards are in the way. Okay, and we're going to seal that tight. And we're told that Jesus was dead. He was buried. And Jesus' friends were really scared because they thought, well, what if they try and kill us too? But the Bible tells us something incredible happened, you see. Jesus didn't stay dead. The Bible says there was a huge earthquake and an angel came and he terrified the guards and they all ran away. So let's get rid of the guards. They're gone. Okay? They're well gone. The guards are all run away, all scared. Okay? And then the angel moved the stone out of the way. Okay? And so he rolled that away, that great big heavy stone. The angel just like this envelope, ripped it up and got it out of the way. Okay? And then what have we got next? We've got the tomb. Well, the tomb's wide open now. In fact, some of Jesus' friends went to visit the tomb and they found the guards gone and they found the stone gone and they found the tomb empty. And when they found the grave clothes, they found... Oh, Jesus' body wasn't there. He'd gone. He disappeared. Because the Bible says that when Jesus was killed, he didn't stay dead. He died to take our punishment and our place. And when he died, God raised him to life again. Which means if you follow Jesus, you can be forgiven, your sin can be taken away, and that you can know him today. And that's why I follow Jesus. Because he's not dead. He's alive. The tomb was empty and my sin was gone. We're going to sing a song. And this song talks about how God isn't dead. Okay, and there's some action-y shouty bits in this. So let's just cue this up. Okay, so let's get this next song up. Okay, and it goes like this. It goes, God's not dead. No. All right, so you can... shout that bit out. So if Alfred or Sahara or anyone watching at home, if you're going to be loud this morning, you can. So God's not dead. No, he is alive. God's not dead. No, he is alive. God's not dead. No, he is alive. He is alive in me. Okay, if you're a Christian today, Jesus is alive in you by his spirit. And then we say, I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. You have to stomp your feet there, okay? Stomp, stomp. I feel him in my heart. Boom, boom. I feel him in my soul.
Woo!
Mark makes a great noise for that. I feel him in my soul.
Woo!
He is, I feel him all over me. Okay, so we're going to learn this song this morning. Some of you older ones probably know it already. And some of you younger ones will probably be singing this all week, which is good. So here we go. It's very easy. We'll do it a couple of times, okay? God's not dead, no! He is alive, God's not dead, no. He is alive, God's not dead, no. He is alive, he is alive in me. We'll do that again, you ready? God's not dead, no. He is alive, God's not dead, no. He is alive, God's not dead, no. He is alive, he is alive in me. I feel him in my hands, I feel him in my feet, I feel him in my heart, I feel him in my soul, I feel him all over me. God's not dead, no, he is alive, God's not dead, no, he is alive, God's not dead, no. He is alive, he is alive in me. And again, God's not dead, no. He is alive, God's not dead, no. He is alive, God's not dead, no. He is alive, he is alive in me. Well, I feel him in my hands, I feel him in my feet, I feel him in my heart, I feel him in my soul,
woo!
Feel him all over me. Fantastic. It's been really good to share a little something with you. Hopefully you didn't see the big mistake I made on camera. And if you did, well, you've got quick eyes, which is good. But it's really good to sing about our Jesus who is alive. Now, somebody who's been thinking about Jesus being alive at the moment is Chrissy Godson, who Doug went to see and has recorded a few moments with. So we're just going to hand over to a quick video now.
That's what I think. Being forced to slow down made the world a lot less noisier.
Yeah.
A lot less busier. And so it gave the opportunity for the birds to sing louder, for the oceans to become cleaner. And it slowed people down. It slowed me down. And it gave me time, really, to think about my walk with God. And I had just moved here. So I had this garden at the time was just this blank canvas. I had somebody come, Joe, to come, and he decided he'd show me what he could do, and I just let him get on with it. And so now I've just nurtured it, and I've it's like being walking in the garden with God, you know. So, and it's just grown. And Claire Nonnable, she gave me these tomatoes that were like this in little tubs, and I put them in here, and they've gone absolutely crazy and huge. So, and you've got the birds twittering away and squirrels running up and down. At the night time, you've got foxes and badgers, and they come running along as well. To me, it's been a real benefit to be forced to stop,
yeah,
and to slow down. When, you know, the church started doing Zoom, and my family started doing, you know, Zooms, it's like suddenly, you know, we were Zooming all over the place, and that has been an absolute godsend, really, because it's kept us all in communication with one another. It's kept us going, and so I've never felt that I've been separated from you all, or, you know, from the church. It's been great. So I think, you know, the actual effort that's been put in to do all this, to get the Zoom and the life group running, and to have those Wednesdays worship and Sundays of service, I think it's been fantastic. Absolutely incredible. I don't look forward in too far in this world anyway. I just live, you know, I live mostly sort of week to week, month to month, or whatever. Mm. I think if the more you put yourself into the world and the world becomes your focus, the more anxious I think you can become. Whereas when your focus is on Jesus and his world and what he has to offer, you can get through this world. And as hard as it is sometimes in this world, there is room to rejoice.
Yeah.
Because we have that to look forward to. Mm. And I think that's what's, for me, that's what's got me through anyway.
Thank you, Chrissy and Doug. It was lovely to see you and your lovely garden as well, and to hear how God's been speaking to you during lockdown. We're going to sing another song now before we're led in some prayers by Joe White.
Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as a flood. Where the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. Who his love will not remember, who can cease to sing his praise. He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal day. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy, flood of us and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers, poured incessant from above. And heaven's peace and perfect justice kiss the guilty world in love. Let me all your love accepting, love you ever all my days. Let me see your kingdom only, and my life be to your praise. You alone shall be my glory, nothing in the world I see. You have cleansed and sanctified me, God himself has set me free. Yes, you alone shall be my glory, nothing in the world I see. You have cleansed and sanctified me, God himself has set me free.
Good morning. Shall we pray? Our loving Heavenly Father, sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the situations we see or read about in the world around us, or by the circumstances of our own lives or those of our loved ones. But your word constantly reminds us that you are the sovereign Lord of Lords, limitless in your power.
Sorry about that. It seems that we're having a bit of an issue there. I'm just going to see if I can tweak that video because Joe prays very beautifully for us. So just going to put you on hold for a second while I try and tweak that.
Shall we pray? Our loving Heavenly Father, sometimes we feel overwhelmed by the situations we see or read about in the world around us, or by the circumstances of our own lives or those of our loved ones. But your word constantly reminds us that you are the sovereign Lord of Lords, limitless in your power and knowledge, and in your compassion for all mankind. We lift to you, Father, the Lebanese people, who, having struggled...
Hi, sorry about that, everybody. We don't know what's gone wrong with the video, so... I'd like to pick up on what Joe was going to pray about, because there's a lot going on in our world, isn't there? And so it's only right that we as God's people bring the struggles and the difficulties to him. So let's pray again. Let's start. So Father, we thank you that we're not totally reliant upon technology when it comes to you. Thank you that you are reliable, you're always there, you're a faithful God. And Lord, you've given us this wonderful gift of prayer. And because of that, Lord, forgive us when we don't make the most of it, as perhaps we should. But Lord, you've given us, you've placed us in the world, and we are part of it. But Lord, as your people, we can bring our struggling and our suffering world to you. And Lord, we cannot deny the way we feel about that which has happened in Beirut this week. Lord, for the people who not only lost their lives, but where family members and even themselves have been severely injured because of this blast. And Lord, that was all on top of already a lot of unrest within Lebanon itself, but also the struggles through COVID-19. So Lord, this has just compounded the circumstances. But thank you, O God, that you are a God of the miraculous. You're the God who sees our needs and is willing to step in and intervene. So Father, we commit to you that whole city, that whole nation, in fact, which is going through such difficult times as a result of this blast this week. Lord God, have mercy, we ask. Those who are struggling on all sorts of levels, without houses now because they've been blown away by the explosion. Those who have been severely injured. Lord, bless those who care for them in the hospitals. May they find space to be able to help them and minister to them medically. Lord, for your people, and for your church, the Christians within Beirut and Lebanon, Lord, we pray you'd strengthen them. As we ask that, Lord, you would help them to minister and to be there and support as best as possible those everyone else within that city. So, Lord, we lift this whole nation to you, which is in such turmoil. We pray that, Lord, the political situation will not stop the aid from coming in. And as world leaders gather this week to discuss about that whole aspect, Lord, I pray that compassion and love and understanding will dominate their decision making. So Lord, meet the needs. And Lord, we know that there's other things going on around our world which are equally difficult and struggles. People fleeing from their homes. Lord, for whatever that reason is, we pray, O God, that you would have mercy upon them. Help us to do what we can do. And we help those who are influencers, the movers and the shakers in our world, to be able to do what needs to be done. So, Lord, thank you that you're a God who hears. You're a God who answers our prayers. So we bring these things to you. And probably many others which we have, both personally and corporately. But Lord, hear our prayers. Because we ask in and through the powerful and significant name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Rich, back to you.
Problem with working with videos is if it goes wrong, I can't just bring Joe up and ask her to come and pray again. But thank you for bearing with us. We're going to sing a song now about how God doesn't let us down, that he is good and faithful. There are no glitches with him. Can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, we're waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation, still you know my heart. The author of salvation, you've loved us from the start.
waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing hallelujah. You're everything you promised, your faithfulness is true. When we're desperate for your presence, all we need is you. Waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing hallelujah. We're singing
talents, as you can see, is sorting so many things out for us, so bless him. That's good. Okay, where are we? We're just getting ourselves together. Hang on. We'll be with you in a moment. Okay. So how's your attic? That's my question for this morning. Very important. Or loft. In fact, you might not have an attic. You might live in a flat. Well, you might have a storage outside, a shed, there might be a garage, but I tell you, how is it? Is it stored with all sorts of stuff? Well, it might well be, because this is ours, and if it's anything like ours, it's creaking. The rafters are creaking with weight full of boxes of all sorts of stuff, which you accumulate over the years. In fact, I've noticed in our loft, we've moved from previous houses and they've just gone from loft to loft to loft, and we've never opened them in between times. And you're thinking, oh, but stuff like, it's not moving. Can you connect us? Sorry, it's all sorts of stuff, like old papers and old birthday cards and anniversary cards and college stuff, stuff from school even for me. It was going right back. And then there is a whole load of other stuff like paintings you'd never know, no longer want on your wall. There's all sorts of holiday memorabilia and even some old I Spy books. Look at them, they're classics. And even some old toys when I was a kid. Okay, the picture is not precisely connecting, but a whole load of different things. However, in a couple of boxes which we found, there was lots of photos and albums, and it's been quite entertaining, I have to say, sorting through some of these, throwing away lots of irrelevant ones. Ones which we knew we would not want to keep anymore, scenes. I don't even know where there were scenes of. But keeping what I would say are really, really valuable ones. Those of parents and even your kids from way back. That's really embarrassing, my kids. There are also some quite embarrassing ones as well. Yeah, no prizes for who you think these are. Incriminating ones of ourselves. I'm not going to make any further comment, just pray. But putting the photos themselves to one side in lots of ways, it makes us realise how many hundreds, if not thousands, of people we've had connection with over the years. I mean, going through some of those photos, there was a whole load of people, and Joan and I were looking and we're thinking, who is that? And we can't remember, but we know that we've had that connection over the years. Some, of course, yeah, closer than others, but lots of people. And especially when we are within Christian circles, within church circumstances, because we've had quite a bit of input or influence, certainly me as a leader, but even just being part of church life. And hopefully that influence and that input has been positive and for the better. But on the other hand, it also made me realise and makes us realise how many others who have had a significant influence upon us too. You know, they've made a huge impact upon our lives. And especially with regards to our walk with God. Very, very significant. And you just need to thank God for all those who've had that influence. Because each person is really, really important. Some I don't even know the names of. I'm not just talking, you know, church leaders or preachers or anything of that. But people who've had that impact upon our lives. Ordinary people, if you like. But each person is valuable and really important. But especially when we're in the church and our brothers and sisters in Christ, it's really, really important. And God uses them, I believe, to shape and direct our lives. Even, you know, helping us form our characters and bring us into a deeper relationship with God. Sometimes, I don't think we realise how important our individual role in kingdom terms really is. You know, your contact with some may be very short or even of little value as far as you're concerned in your people. Yet to the other person you are speaking to or having connection with at any one time, you may have been the answer to their prayers. Or a link in a chain of God's shaping, God's leading, God's direction in their life. It may only have been a very brief but very positive or kind word which you spoke. It may have been a very simple yet loving and caring action which you fulfilled. But in the hands of God, these little things become incredibly powerful and life-changing actions. These are really important connections which we have. I don't know whether you've seen it, but there's been an advert on the TV in recent months from a company called Indeed, who are a company which I think makes connections between job seekers and employment opportunities. And you may have seen this, but take a look at this.
It was the first time man walked on the moon. Because he stayed in orbit. Because they guided them safely. Because she made the right calculations. And because he let them focus on the mission instead of the mess.
I love that. It's just so simple. It's only short, 30 seconds. But I tell you, I love that because it's not about status or so-called importance. And some of those people in that room when whole moon landing, and of course the astronauts themselves, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong and people, you know, they were significant. But actually, it was all those background people. And you start to realise that everyone was playing their part, doing their bit. And no matter how small or even insignificant it may seem in the bigger picture, their role was absolutely essential to getting the big job, the whole job, done. And I think that was a tremendous illustration of the power and the influence which we, as the body of Christ, can make. The church in action, if you like. God's people being and doing what we have been called to be and to do. Fulfilling our part. Now, you probably think, well, what you're doing, Mark, and what Rich is doing on a Sunday morning, yeah, it's crucial. But actually, it's not just about that. Yes, it's an important part. But there's a whole load of other things which each and every one of us can do. And of course, when it comes to Christ, when we come to Christ, when anybody makes a commitment to him and surrender our lives into his hands, it's not only for our own personal benefit and our own blessing of salvation, all those other things, it's actually that we're adding our colour and our bigger picture to God. God is doing a painting, and in one sense, we are part of his overall job. You'll know this if you're a member at Emmanuel, because in fact, you can't see it, but it's usually in our shot here today on a poster behind us. But this is our verse for the year. And we are part of God establishing his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. So how's that going to look? And I believe it's really important that we fulfill our part. We are part of the kingdom, we're part of his body, and I believe that God can and wants to use every single one of us. And I would say even that even during this whole COVID-19, this whole virus pandemic, this is definitely the case. And we've seen it in others. It's not just Christians, of course. We've seen some lovely positive actions, haven't we? Where people do some really lovely things to each other and for each other in serving. And we need to constantly and still be incredibly thankful to those people. But in one sense, I believe, we have the opportunities afforded to us. And even during, I said this time, those opportunities have increased. But let's remember, we're in Christ and for the kingdom and for other people's sake, not merely for our own. So it's this dynamic of playing our part. Now, there are many references about these sorts of things in the New Testament particularly. But one, which I just want to pick out, is Philippians 2, verses 1 through to 5, where Paul speaks of this very dynamic of getting engaged with others. And he says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look only to your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And then, of course, he goes on to describe all that Jesus laid down for us and the world in order to win our salvation. And he set us an example on how we should live. Lives of humility. These previous verses which we've just read speak about God allowing us to touch and influence other people's lives, because it's about who God is in us and therefore what we can therefore be as representatives of God in their lives. And he, in another place, I think it's Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he speaks about, or 2 Corinthians, he speaks about us being ambassadors, carrying the representation of who we are in Christ to others. And so God is allowing us to touch and to be him in the lives of other people. And God wants each one of us to be a part of that by doing our bit, fulfilling our role, seizing the opportunities which I believe God affords to us each and every day, even moment by moment, with everyone we meet. Just that last verse, in that verse 5, don't look only to your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You know, there are many names listed in the Bible. People who we know nothing more about, just their name. We don't know even what they did. Some, it's just as a part of a family. But in God's scheme of things, they were important enough to be mentioned and to be remembered, because they played their part. And each and every one of us has a name, and we are important to God. And it's not about doing things to get a mention or to be remembered. No. It's more about our heart's desire to be used of God. A humble piece in his kingdom jigsaw. Or perhaps even a living stone in the wall of this spiritual house which God has made us into. And of course, it's not only within the immediate family of God's people, within the church, which we can be a blessing and an influence. It's those who have yet to find Christ. And in fact, I believe God uses us in that process. And 1 Peter 2, verse 12, actually says this: be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbours. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honourable behaviour and they will give honour to God when he judges the world. In other words, people will notice, they will take notice of the life which we're living. People are watching us. We all know that. I'm sure you will have heard the phrase random acts of kindness. It's very familiar nowadays. But I believe this is where we are looking and we're seeking opportunities to express the love and the presence of God in the lives of others through very simple, caring ways, actions, or even through kind and positive words. Just because we can, and just because God has done things to us and given us so much. Asking God to show you where we can be used of him to bring a blessing and an encouragement to others is what a random act of kindness is all about. They will speak volumes, I believe, and will leave that deposit of God in other people's lives. There's several scriptures which refer to these sorts of things. One, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, says this: let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And then in Titus 2, verse 7, it says, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and the seriousness of your teaching. So if we sing it with our words and our mouths, let's do it with our lives too. And then in Colossians 3, verse 12, it says these words which you'll know well: since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves by the Holy Spirit within us and by our, sorry, wrong word. You must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Those are things which people see. And in a world which is very grabbing, how easy it is for those things to stick out because they're not regularly seen. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 6, it says, Paul teaches us, we prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, and by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. It shows itself. These are things which are noticed. And then finally, in Philemon chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother." And this is Paul speaking. "For your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people." It doesn't take much, does it? Just some kind words. Your kindness. And it's just a reflection of our hearts. And there are probably many, many other similar encouragements which are there within the New Testament for us. And I believe this is tremendous. It's so simple. Just being there. Just allowing God to be through us, in us, through the smile on our face. Just by bringing his presence into circumstances. It can be powerful and is very significant. So let's be reminded. Between us, we have contact with lots and lots of people. Thousands. Thousands. Not always face to face, of course. And if you do meet face to face, don't forget the face mask, by the way, in our current climate. But even over social media. By the way, we speak to people over phone calls, through emails, through texts, all sorts of things. Let's think twice on how we can bless people. Bring the positive words. Bring the positive attitude. Let's show and express those random acts of kindness. But however we do it, let's allow God and his life in us, and by his Spirit in us, with all its many facets, to be seen and to flow from us. And then, of course, let's entrust what God wants to do to touch and bless people's lives. When I think back to the thousands of people I've seen and had influence with, I will never see them again. I don't know what has God has done through them. God, through what I've said or through what I've done. But I hope and I pray that it's left a seed of the goodness and the gospel of God within their lives. And we need to trust that he is the King and he is the God of who can do these things. And of course it's therefore all for his glory and for his kingdom's sake, not ours. Let's pray. So Father, help us, I pray, to allow your life, your Spirit, to so overflow out of us that, Lord, we have an effect upon everyone around us. Yes, to be a blessing within the church, to think about each other. We've got that calling on our lives to care for one another, to love each other. Yes, but, Lord, also for those who have not yet found you, help us, I pray, to be those kind, loving, positive people in the lives of others, and that, Lord, we will have leave that influence and leave that seed of the kingdom within their lives, so that they might find you afresh and anew. So Lord, be with us even in these strange days, to be a blessing and to leave something of your love within people, so that they might find you, that they might become to know you. We ask these things, Jesus, in your name and for your kingdom's sake and for your glory. Amen. 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 Bless you. Okay, Rich, I'm going to hand back to you for our final song.
I've had a few messages about audio, so I'm sorry if there was anything that went a bit hissy or weird in that, but hopefully the rest of it goes okay. But we're going to finish with a song which speaks about the kingdom as well, because there's no point asking for God's kingdom to come now and not singing a song about it, is there? So we're going to sing, here we go, "Build Your Kingdom Here."
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come invade us now.
church, and we need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first, we hunger and we thirst, refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive heart released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace, we lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church, and we pray revive this earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Unleash your kingdom power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing heart. You make us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church, we are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Oh, amen. No power of hell can stop, but a battery dying in my foot controller meant I have to swap all of that by hand. Sorry about that. All right, I'm going to hand back to Mark, who's going to introduce this week's Grace video.
Hey. We're live, it's good. It shows that everything, not everything always works together. But anyway, it's been brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us, being with us. Thank you for your grace, I know, because you're still with us and you haven't given up. Stick with us. But it's really lovely. Over the weeks, we've been able to connect with other people who perhaps aren't always, we're not able to do always online. And therefore, it's lovely to have one of our older members today taking and leading us in our grace. And so with this, we're going to finish our service. And so I'm going to hand over to Valro. Bless her. Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.